Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Tes, the second daf in Perek Yesh Nochlin. We were discussing yesterday the order of Yerusha, and basically the very beginning of the order of Yerusha, how if son comes first, if there's no son, then it goes to the daughter, if there's no daughter, then it goes to the father, and if there's no father, it would then go to the brothers. And we're trying to figure out, how do we know that the father comes after the son, but before the brothers? Right after the children, but before the brothers. So we mentioned yesterday that She'eiro is a reference to the Av, and that teaches us that the Av is Kodem La'achin. Right, that's the limud that we were working with, and we had all sorts of questions where the Gemara had said that maybe Hakarov Kodem is maybe, how do we know that comes the Rabbos Hasaben to tell us that the son jumps the line ahead of the father and Lahotzi Esa'ach, maybe that's not so right, maybe it's coming to tell us that the brother jumps before the father, and we compared this relationship of a son to the relationship of a brother, and we showed how a son often takes the place of his father, whereas a brother very rarely takes the place of his brother. It's only by Yibum that a brother takes the place of his brother, and even by Yibum, it's only in a it's only because there's no child. Only in the absence of a child, the brother's going to take the place of his brother. But typically, if you're talking about taking the place of somebody else, it's the son taking the place of the father, right? We find that by Yiyud, we find that by Steyachuza, even though Steyachuza, the Gemara suggested, may not be a source in and of itself, because it may be learnt out from whatever drasha we're making over here, but that's where we find that the son is Kam Tachas Aviv. So we left off, I believe, four lines from the top on Kuf Tes Amar Aleph. We already get on to Daf Kuf Tes. So Frek the Gemara on this limud, and we're going to have ultimately two limudim to teach us this Seder Yerusha, that a father comes after the children but before the brother. But the Gemara asks on the limud that we're working with now, right, that She'eiro refers to the father, and that teaches us that the father comes before the brother, and the only way we know the child comes before the father is because HaKarov teaches us Karov Kodem. Says the Gemara, Ve'ema She'eiro Zeha'av Melamed Sha'av Kodem Labas. Maybe She'eiro is there to teach me that the father comes before the daughter, but not that the father comes. So Yachol Yaktim, right, and Rashbam says Shav Kolim Basta Ina Kama Tachas Aviyah L'Klum, meaning maybe it's there to teach me that it's not that the father comes after the son and daughter and before the brother. Maybe it's after the son but before the daughter. Maybe that's what She'eiro is there to teach me, that the Av is Kodem Labas. The Ha'ina Kama Tachas Aviyah, the Rashbam says L'Klum. Unlike the son, who does take a place of his father, and therefore you understand, will cut the line, will go ahead of the father, but you don't find the daughter ever takes the place of her father. So therefore, you don't find and the daughter's not even like a brother. A brother at least takes the place of his father sometimes. You never find a daughter that takes the place of the father. So maybe it's logical to assume that the Seder Yerusha should not be son, then daughter, then father. Maybe it should be son, then father, then daughter. Yachal Yaktim Leben, and I might have even thought, and the way the drasha should go, should then follow up, is that we might have even had a havamina that the father comes before the son, Tamalomar Karov HaKarov, that's why the Pasuk says HaKarov, to teach me Karov Kodem, that whoever is closest comes first, and therefore the son comes first, then the father, then the daughter. How do we know it's son, then daughter, then father? So answers the Gemara, Kivin de Linyin Yibum, Benu Baski Adadininu, Lininach Lenami, Benu Baski Adadininu. Well, when it comes to Yibum, we assume the son and daughter are the same, meaning as long as a guy had children, it doesn't make a difference whether he had male children or female children. Either way, there's not going to be any Chiyuv Yibum. So since the son and daughter are on even footing when it comes to Yibum, so when it comes to Nachla also, when it comes to Yerusha also, we associate Yibum with Yerusha. So when it comes to Yerusha, they are on equal footing. Son and daughter are the same. Says Rashbam, Ben Ubaski Adadininu Kidichsiv, Uben Ein Lo, Ayena Love. Uben Ein Lo means we look in to see that he has nothing, that he has no children. Nimtzeis Gama Bas, Boter Sasachim, Min Yibum. And we see from there that even a daughter would exempt the mother from having to Yibum with any other brothers, would exempt their brothers from the mitzvah of Yibum, the father's brothers. Avalavi But you don't find a father exempting his son from Yibum. That you don't have. Nimtzes habas kamatachas avia tfei me avia meis veachi ameis. So there you see that the daughter is more kamatachas avia. She more takes the place of her father than the father does for a son, or than brothers do for a brother, right? Because the yibum wouldn't even get off the ground if there was a daughter. So you want to tell me that brothers are stronger because achia, because the brothers sometimes are kamatachas aviv? Not so. The brothers are only kamatachas aviv when there's no daughter in place. Says Tosfos. Tosfos has a very important question. We said, since Lagabe Yibum, Benu Baski Adadininu, so, Frek Tosfos, Mtomar Minelon de Bas Paters Mina Yibum. How do you know that having a daughter exempts from Yibum? So the Rosh Ram told us how we know. The Rosh Ram said, Ayena love, right? It says that Ben Ein Lom, and we dash in Ayena love. Says Tosfos, I'm not convinced by that, Rasha. Imi dechsivu Ben Ein Lom, Ayena love. That teaches us that if he has any son, any ben kolduhu, even if the son is a mamzer, that would exempt from yibum. How do I know that ben ein lo includes a ayena love, includes a bas? Maybe it just includes a mamzer. We already use the pasuk to darshan a mamzer. How can you then go ahead and use that same pasuk to darshan a daughter also, that a daughter will exempt from yibum? So Tos says two terutzim. Number one, he says, v'yishlomer d'shkulin v'yavo shnehen, that since mamzer and bas are equally plausible drushos, doesn't mean that they're the same. It means they're equally plausible drushos to have from the word ayena love, from ein lo, which we darshan to mean ayena love, since they're both equally plausible and there's no way to choose one drusha over the other drusha, so in such an instance, we're allowed to make two drushos. And then Tosfos is bothered, oh really? There are other cases where we have equally plausible drushos that we don't make two drushos, we have to choose one over the other. Okay, and Tosfos deals with that. But that's Tosfos' first answer. Since they're equally plausible, we're allowed to make two drushos from the same pasuk. Then Vayter and Tosfos about the 10th skinny line, he says, Inami yesh l'rabos basha poteres min ha'yibam mi lo yimacha prat l'zeh she'en shma machui. What does the pasuk say when it comes to yibum? It says that you don't want his name to be wiped out. As if he has a daughter, his name is not wiped out, right? There was no such thing as a last name, that it's carrying on the last name. No, a name means that you have children that you left in this world, so he has daughters, so his name is not going to be wiped out. He has someone that remembers him. The Chiyai Gavna Darish B'Yavamos, Avon Mamzer Yisruch Riboy, Mishum Debezer Apostle Kati Avishma Machoy. But Mamzer would be different because we need a Riboy for Mamzer. I mean, he's saying Bas is a Svara just because the whole point of Yibum is to keep the name alive, because the name otherwise would have been wiped off the face of this earth. Well, if he had a daughter, the name would not have been wiped off the face of this earth. So you don't even need a drasha, it's just pashut. That's the whole purpose of Yibum, of lo yimacha. But when it comes to a mamzer, you need a special pasuk to tell me that if he had a child who was a mamzer, that there's not going to have to be Yibum. Why do I need a pasuk to tell that to me? Because when you leave a child that's a zera pasul, then that's called Shema Machui. That's considered as if the name is completely wiped out when you have a child who's a apostle. So those are the two Teretzim Tosos. The Ran quotes Acherim, who give a third Teretz, that they say that Bas Kodemes L'Achia Meis L'Na, that how do I know that when there's a daughter that there's no Yibum? He says, we know it from the fact that the Bas is Kodemes L'Achia Meis L'Nachla, that a daughter comes before your brothers when it comes to Yerusha. If she wouldn't pater from Yibum, how could she go ahead, how could she cut the line and go ahead of the brothers for Yerusha, right? Because the whole Svara, we said that the brothers should have koach, is that the brothers stand in place of the guy himself. When? By Yibum. But we said that why does son come before the brothers then, if the brothers stand in place of the guy for Yibum? Because, no, when do the brothers stand in place of his brother for Yibum? Only when there's no son. Right, so that implies, without that svara, that the brothers would go first. So why don't the brothers go before a daughter? Elamai must be that when there is a daughter, the brothers don't take the place of the brother. They don't get to do yibum. So that's how you see that there's no chi of yibum when there is when there is a daughter. Right? That's where we see that halacha. So says the Gemara again, pounding away. Start actually before we even get to that. Tosos asks Vayter, in that same Tosos, Vim Tomar, Hadetani Perakamet the Kiddushin Eved Ivri Oved Es Haben Vein Oved Es Habas Vanai Vamai Neima Mi Dilein Kinyan Yibum ben Ubas Kiadaninu, Hachinamilin Evid Ivri, Kidamin Hachalin Nachla. Why do we assume that an Evid Ivri is Ovid as a Ben, but he's not Ovid as a Bas? That an Evid Ivri, when the father dies, would work for the son, but would not work for the daughter. Why don't we say, just like in Yibum, we consider Ben and Bas to be the same, so to the Gabin Evid Ivri, Kidamin Hachalin Nachla, Midusiv Abduchashe Shanim, the Mashmal Chavaloli Aresh, Lonamayet, Ela Achdafka. We have a special Mia to tell me that the Evid works for you but does not work for your Yoresh. Yeah, maybe that means it doesn't work for your Yoresh, meaning your brother, if you don't have any children. But your children he would work for, children meaning not only sons but daughters as well. So the answer tells us, Amarim, Yishum Dashin Vavdecha, Lecha Lo La'acher, Kol Shuhu Acher, Legabe Ben Ubas Nami, Legabe Ben Ka'acher, Kol Shuhu Acher Legabe Ben. Anyone who's considered an Acher in comparison to the Ben. That's how we darsh in the Pasuk. Ubas Nami, and a daughter also, Legabe Ben Ka'acher Dami Linya Nachla, Shaben Kodam Lubas. The daughter is going to be considered an acher legabe, the son, at least when it comes to Nachla, because we know when it comes to Yerusha, the son comes before the daughter. If there's a son, then the daughter doesn't receive Yerusha. So that's how we know that legabe a ben, a bas, is considered an acher, and therefore she's specifically excluded from receiving the rights to have the Eved work for her. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, another kasha on this limud, ve'ema, why don't we say the limud as follows? She'ero zeha'av. Maybe that teaches us that the father comes before the father's own brothers, but not before the brothers of the nifter. Yachl yaktim la'achin. I might have thought the father even comes before the brothers of the nifter. Tamal omar hakarov, karov kodem. That's why I have hakarov to teach me that whoever's closer comes first, and brothers are closer than a father, and therefore brothers come before a father. So before we were asking, let the father move ahead of the line, ahead in the line, right? We were asking that the father should even come before the daughter. Now we're saying, no, push the father back. It should be son, then daughter, then brothers, then father, right? And we should say that what does She'ero come to teach me that the father gets to do? What's so great about She'ero? What's the advantage of She'ero? That the father comes before his own brothers, not that he comes before the brothers of the nifter. So the answer is Gemara, Achia Av lo tzrich yikra. No, you wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that the father comes before his own brothers for Yerusha. Achia Av, Achei Ha'av, Mikoch Man Ka'asu, because think about it. Why would the father's brothers receive a Yerusha? Meaning, why would someone's uncle, someone's father's brother, receive a Yerusha from them? How would that work? Who does it come through? Mikoach Av. It obviously would transfer through the father. It would obviously go. The only reason the father's brothers are in line to Yashin at all is because of the relationship with the father. So, if you think about that logically, Koyav, Koyati Achayav, would we ever have a Havamina that if the father's still alive, that his brothers are going to Yashin and not him? You don't need a pasuk to tell me that. That's a milsa de mistaver. It's a davar pashut. Anyone could have figured that part out. Anyone could have realized that if the father's still alive, his brothers aren't going to yarshin. V'akroi lav hachiksivi d'chsivim ein achim la'aviv v'gomer. So, frankly, Gemara, wait a second. That's fine. So, I understand. We have this drasha, and how does the drasha? And again, this drasha was first stated three lines from the top on Kuf Chesam and Beis, that She'ero is a reference to the father, and we know that She'ero therefore teaches us that the father comes before the brothers, but not before the son, because Akarav Karav Kodem. Not before son and daughter, because Akarav Karav Kodem. So, frek the Gemara, that's really nice to have such an order, son, then daughter, then father, then brothers, but Vakrai Lav HaChiksivi. That's not the order that the Pesukim say, Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'im'ein Achim Li'aviv, right? And the Pasuk goes on to say, V'im'ein Achim La'aviv, if there are no brothers to the father, that's when we first mention She'ero, after brothers. So you want to tell me that the way it works is son, then daughter, then father, then brothers? Yeah, well, it's not what it says in Psukim. In Psukim it says brothers, then it tells me She'ero, and you're dashing She'ero to mean father. So it's not the order of the Psukim. Answers the Gemara, Krai Shalok Kisidron Ksivi. Yet the Pesukim are not exactly in the order of the Yerusha. They're a little out of order. Says Rashbam, Krai Shalok Kisidron Ksivi, Taksivi Achei Ha'av, Achar Kach She'er Av, ubal karchach av kadim lehu. How do I know that? How is it a davar pashut that the pesukim are out of order? We could just say that whenever it's inconvenient. Just say that the pesukim are out of order. Meaning, every time we have a problem with the way the pesukim present themselves, we're going to say it's out of order. No, says Rashbam, it's a davar pashut that they're out of order, because not only does it put the brothers before the father, it puts the father's brothers before the father himself. And that's completely illogical. It makes absolutely no sense for the father's brothers to come before the father himself. So we know for sure that the psukim are out of order. So we call chavkas, like we just said. So why would they be out of order? Why would the Torah have these psukim out of order? Have the words in the pasuk out of order, right? Have the relationships out of order in terms of Yerusha? So says Rosh Pam, unbelievable. So dictate hakasa besidra mishum desamach amay dekasa hakarav karav kodem umeyatzvach tzadra sam kfi korvasan. Once it gives me the drasha of hakarav karav kodem, once it says hakarav elav, the Torah relies on us to use our brains and realize who's a closer relative and who's a more distant relative. And you should realize, obviously, that a father's a closer relative than the father's brothers, and you'll realize that a father's a closer relative than brother is, so you'll figure it out on your own. Once it says, Akarav Karav Kodem, it doesn't matter what order the relatives are listed in the Pasuk, because the Torah is relying on us to use our brain. In fact, Rashbam, yeah? How much is the Torah relying on us? Vim Tomar, Kivin Deinonu Holchen Achar HaSeder, Lishto Kraminev, Vilichtov Ish Kiyamus, Unisatim Snach Lasa Lekarav Vilavim Shmachto. How about not mentioning any relatives then? Just tell me Karov. Just tell me, give it to the Karav Mishpachto, and I'll know, a Karav Kodem. And I'll figure it out. I'll use my own brain to figure out who's a Karav Kodem. Why mention all these relatives? What's the point? If you're not mentioning them in order, it's not going to help me any. So answers Rashbam, Ika lemeimer dekrat zricha tuva k'dil kaman bepirkin, uben ein lo ayena lav, vim ein lo bas ayena leha, v'chein kulan. Each phrase in the Pasuk, each relationship mentioned in the Pasuk, is there to teach me a different drasha, is there to teach me some other halacha that I would not have otherwise known. But ein achinami, for the seder of the Yerusha itself, we don't need the psukim to mention all of these relatives, just various other halachos that are darshaned within the mentioning of each relative. That's all we really darshan from the mentioning of each relative, but primarily it's hakarav kodem. Now this should not be confused with the concept of ein muktam mucha b'torah, right? Notice the Gemara does not mention ein muktam mucha b'torah. It just says kray shalot k'seder k'sivi, doesn't mention that phrase that it always mentions of ein muktam. I looked around a little bit in the Rishonim. I didn't see Rishonim mention the phrase Ein Muktam Mukhar B'Torah, because Ein Muktam Mukhar B'Torah generally is used to tell me that the events recorded in the Torah are not chronologically recorded. Over here, it's not an issue of events. It's not a story, right? This is a hypothetical. This is someone dies, who gets Yerusha first, and it's just a halacha, right? When I was learning Mishnayos with one of my children recently, and my youngest son heard that we were learning a sukkah that looks like this is possible that, and you know, young children, everything is a story, right? Everything has to be a story. So he says, "Did this really happen?" No, the answer is it didn't really happen. No, this is a hypothetical. It's theoretical. That's halacha. Ein muktam mukhar b'torah is in the narrative of the Torah, that the stories are set in order. That's where you find ein muktam mukhar b'torah. For instance, legabe the Egel and the Mishkan, famous machlokas Rashi Ramban, whether we say ein muktam mukhar b'torah or we don't say ein muktam mukhar b'torah. In general, the Ramban is one who's very hesitant to say ein muktam mukhar b'torah. Rashi is a Chazal man, so Rashi will use ein muktam mukhar b'torah whenever Chazal use it. So Rashi just always quotes from Chazal, but he won't use it when Chazal don't use it. The Ramban won't even use it when Chazal do use it. And then there are other Rishonim that will use it indiscriminately. Whenever, at every opportunity, they'll say, Ein Muktam Mukhar B'Torah. But that is not the issue over here. Ein Muktam Mukhar B'Torah, we derive, the source of it is Bamidbar Perek Aleph and Bamidbar Perek Tes, where it tells us the events of the Jewish people in the Midbar, and in Perek Tes, it says it's the most obvious of sources, because in Perek Tes, it actually gives the date of what year, what month of which year they were in the Midbar, and it gives a date that was before by Midbar Perek Aleph, right? So that's the source of Ein Muktam Mukhar B'Torah. No relation to over here, because over here it's just saying that, and again, Ein Muktam Mukhar B'Torah doesn't mean things are randomly ordered. There's a reason why things are said where they are said. There's a reason that the Torah is written in the order that it is. The reason is not chronological. It may be a thematic. It may be thematically arranged rather than chronologically arranged. Now, over here, we're not really giving an explanation of why the order is the way it is. There must be something, Right? We don't just assume it's random. There must be some order over here. But just to mention, this is not part of that broad concept of Ein Mukdam Mukhar B'Torah. That's an issue of chronology. Over here, there must be some other link. I'm sure if you look in the Mefarshei HaChumash, if you look in those who give Pashut Pshat and Chumash, I'm sure you could find some explanation of why it's written in that specific order. Anyway, so says the Gemara Vayter. So far, our entire direction has been learning one drasha to teach me that it's the son, then the daughter, then the father, then the brothers. Right? And it's from the words she'ero, and that she'ero, which teaches me that the father comes before the brothers, and hakarov, to teach me that the children go before the father. That's been our limud so far. Now the Gemara suggests a second limud. We have another tana that darshins it from the following. Titania, we have a brisa, es zu darash Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi made the following drasha. Ish kiyamus uben ein lo, a man who dies and does not have a son, v'gomer, the v'gomer over here is very important, because the pasuk goes on to say, ish kiyamus uben ein lo, v'ha'avartem es nachlaso lebito, and we're going to darshan, the main word that we're going to be darshaning is the word v'ha'avartem, it's the very next word in the pasuk. In fact, if you look in Tosfos over here gives pasuk pshat, let's just read the line, in the Gemara first, b'makom bas atamavir nachlam na'av, so we darshan from there. Yes, when there's a daughter, that's when you're mavir the nachla from the father. That's when the father does not receive Yerusha. But v'yata mavir nachla mina'av b'makom achin. But you would not be mavir the nachla from the father if there are brothers. That's where we learn the halacha that it's son, then daughter, then father, then brothers. Because when there's a daughter, that's when you're mavir the nachla from the father. When there's no daughter, you would not be mavir the nachla from the father to give it to the brothers. Says Tosfos, just explaining pshat and how we make this drasha. B'makom bas ata mavir nachla manav pirush rivam midlok siv v'nasatem gabe bas k'dich siv v'kulu. Right? It doesn't say v'nasatem es nachlas olubito. It says v'ha'avartem es nachlas olubito. Da'avartem mashma lashon ha'avara shemavir nachla l'makom aroi lirush minadin l'makom she'en aroi. V'avartem implies that we're skipping, that we're going to somebody who we shouldn't have gone to right away. We're taking it away from someone who maybe should have been more appropriate and giving it to someone who maybe is a little bit less appropriate to receive it. And that's why the Gemara starts to focus on, well, who should have come before the daughter? When you say you're mavir to the daughter, that implies that you're mavir from someone who maybe should have come before the daughter, but instead the Torah tells us give it to the daughter anyway. So who's that referring to? Umuki laba'av. That's referring to the father. Because the deceased is someone who came from the father. He's Yotze Yerecha of the father. There's no one closer to a child than the parent is to the child. And that's the one that it's most mistaver to assume we're being mavir the nachla from to give to the daughter, even though it never says the father beferish in the psukim. It only talks about the father's brothers. Yeah, but obviously if it's talking about the father's brothers, it goes through the father. The father's closer than the father's brothers. So that's who we're assuming vavartem is from. We're mavir from the father to the daughter, so we let the daughter cut the father in line. That's how we darshan the pasuk. That's how we darshan to know that it's son, then daughter, then father, then brothers. So frak the Gemara, ve'ema b'makom bas ata mavir nachla mina achin, v'yata mavir nachla mina ach, afil b'makom bas. How do you know it's coming to tell me that the daughter cuts the father in line? Maybe it's coming to tell me the daughter cuts the brother in line. Meaning maybe I would have thought without this pasuk that the brother is a closer relative than the daughter, and that the brother should receive before the daughter. So answers Gemara, imkein lo nichtov rachmana v'ha'avartem. Then the pasuk should not have said v'ha'avartem. Why? Well, what does that tell me? The pasuk should not have said v'ha'avartem. So if again you look in Tosfos, imkein lo nichtov rachmana v'ha'avartem kolomar lo tuchal lidrosh b'makom bas ata mavir nachla min ha'achin. You would not be able to darshin that when there is a daughter, you remove the nachla from the brothers. Again, the key word in the drasha over here is ha'avara, vayavar. The point is that we're skipping somebody who should have come first. Letting a daughter come before the brothers is not ha'avara. That's not skipping somebody. That's not going out of order. Shabbas krovel l'meisyoser me'ach l'vishi yotze sirecho. The daughter, if you ask anybody who's a closer relative of yours, your daughter or your brothers, a daughter is for sure a closer relative. She's yotze sirecho. She came from you. So a daughter is definitely a closer relative. That would not be called ma'avir nachla. We never would have referred to that as being ma'avir nachla when you're talking about a daughter coming before a brother. So that can't be what it's referring to. The pasuk must be teaching me that it's a daughter coming before a father. And that's how we know that's seder. Son, then daughter, then father, then brothers. So basically, between today's daf and yesterday's daf, we have two drushas to teach me that a father comes after a daughter before the brothers. Right? We have the drush of She'ero and the drush of Avartem. So obviously, what's the Gemara going to do next? The one who darshans A, why doesn't he darshan B? The one who darshans B, why doesn't he darshan A? What does he do with the other person's pasuk? So the Gemara says, "Leman de nafkalim v'avartem hay she'ero mayavadei." If you learn from v'avartem, what are you going to do with the word she'ero? What halacha are you going to darshan from there? So it says very simple. We need she'ero to teach me the halacha in the following brisa. Brisa says she'ero zu ishto. She'ero is a reference to one's wife, and from there we see that a husband yarshins his wife. Says Rashi, she'ero zuishto k'dichsiv v'hayu l'basar echad. Right, that she'ero refers to ishto because it says v'hayu l'basar echad, and it says she'era. Right, she'era is a reference to what you give to your wife. So you see that a wife is considered to be the closest relative. That a baal is yorish ishto. Vahayu l'basar echad is an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. What vahayu l'basar echad really means? I mean, Rashi says vahayu l'basar echad means when you have a child. That when do husband and wife become basar echad? When they have a child, right? So if I'm not mistaken, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that's not unique to human relationships. Animals also would then become lebasar echad. But it sounds from the Torah, v'hayu lebasar echad is a din in human relationships. That's v'hayu lebasar echad. So you have to say something else. You have to say that there's some sort of deeper connection other than the fact that they have a child, that there's some sort of connection between man and wife inherently, and certainly in halacha we recognize such a connection. Right? We're coming up on Chanukah, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Hilchos Chanukah that if a man lights an er Chanukah, his wife doesn't have to, even for the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin min a Mahadrin, it's unnecessary to light a candle for his wife because ishto kigufo. Okay, so it's a questionable application of ishto kigufo. Salvechik didn't like the application because normally ishto kigufo is used in Hilchos Eidos or whatever, but still, that's the idea that a husband and wife, they're considered basar echad, they're considered to be much more closely linked to each other than any other two human beings. So says the Gemara, so that's what we learn, she'ero, that's what we use she'ero for, that's why the shita that darshans our whole seder of kurva from Vavartem doesn't use she'ero, because he needs she'ero to teach me that bal yorish is ishto. Frankly, Gemara, what about the other shita? L'man de nafkele mi she'ero, hay Vavartem ayavadei. If you darshan from she'ero, then what do you use Vavartem for? If you use she'ero to teach you the seder of son, then daughter, then father, then brothers, what do you use Vavartem for? Use it for the following brisa. Rebbe Yomer b'kula nemer behen nesina, v'kan nemer behen ha'avara. By all other Yerushos besides for the daughter, it always says nesina, a lashon of giving. And over here it doesn't say nesina, it says ha'avara, that you're ma'avir the Yerusha to the daughter. Shem lecha she'mavir nachla mishevet l'shevet elabas. Why does it use a lashon of ha'avara? Not to tell me anybody's cutting anybody else in line. That we already know from She'ero. No, you know what ha'avara is coming to teach me? That the only way that it's ever going to be legal to be mavir and nachla from one shevet to another, to take a tribal holding of one shevet and have it end up in another shevet's possession, is through a daughter. Because the halacha is a girl is inherited by her son and by her husband, and she's allowed to marry people from other shvatim. And since she can marry somebody from another shevet, the yerusha that she receives could end up going to another shevet. Says Rashbam, Rashbam says, I'll set up the case for you. This is exactly how it happens. Kigon, Serach bas Asher, Serach the daughter of Asher. So she comes from the tribe of Asher. She nesul Chanuch ben Reuven, marries Chanuch ben Reuven. She marries a man from Shevet Reuven. Umeis Asher below Banim Zacharim, and then Serach's father Asher dies without any male children. V'yarashto Serach bito, and therefore who yarshins him? If there are no sons, the daughter yarshins. So Serach yarshins. Umesa Sarach, and then Sarach dies, V'yarsha b'na u'bayla shehim sheva Ruvain, and then her son or her husband yarshins, and they're from sheva Ruvain. Nimsa shehus v'nach l'shevet Asher, l'shevet Ruvain. So you see that the shevet, that the Yerusha was moved from shevet Asher to shevet Ruvain. V'ashmin u'krash shabal o'aben, yorish yisishta v'esimo. And the Pasuk is telling me that a husband or a son will yarshin his wife and his mother. V'ika d'darsh l'kaman yurusha ben esimo mikra achrina, v'rabi darsh l'mehacha. Says Rashbam, I know later on the Gemara is going to have a different drasha to tell me that a ben is yoresh asimo, that a son yarshins the mother. Okay, that's true. There will be a different drasha, but for now, this is how Rabbi darshins it. This is how we're darshining it right now. So in Achinami, it could be machlokas how we know ben yoresh asimo, but that's what we're using the pasuk for right now. So frankly, Gemara umimai d'she'eru ze'ahav. How do we know, going back on that first drasha that we said at the top of Kuf Chesam and Beis, that she'er is a reference to the father? Where do you ever see she'er is a reference to the father? We've proven she'er is a reference to a wife. Where do we ever see she'er is a reference to a father? D'chsiv she'er avichahu. Ema she'eru zuha'em. D'chsiv she'er imechahu. Says the Gemara, how does that prove that she'er is a father? There's another pasuk that says she'er imechahi. So maybe she'er refers to a mother, not a father. Amar Rava, Amar Krami, Mishpachto v'yarashosa. Mishpachas av kruya mishpacha, mishpachas eim ena kruya mishpacha. That in general, only a father's family is called mishpacha, mother's family is not called mishpacha the same way. Tichsiv l'mishpachosam l'veisavosam. Because the pasuk says, l'mishpachosam l'veisavosam, and therefore we see that mishpachas av is kruya mishpacha, mishpachas eim is ena kruya mishpacha. In the Birei Adafov here, he quotes the Torah Tmima at the very beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. The Torah Tmima writes that the reason that only mishpachas av is kriya mishpacha, he says, shahazcharim heim bonei ha'olam v'yishuvo, that males are generally the ones who build societies, right? The ones who go out and build infrastructure and build the world up. V'ashal kein nikra zcharim banim al shem binyin. He says that's where the word ben comes from. It's from the same lashon as binyan, the builders. K'mo shekasav Rashi, v'yolad ben shemimenu nivra ha'olam. He says like Rashi says in Bereishis Perikei that he gave birth to a son. And what does Rashi say? Shemimenu nivra ha'olam, from whom the world was created. And that's why through all the shtalshlus adaros we always refer to the father as the mishpacha, not the mother, because that's how through the males is how the world is generally built up. That's the Torah Tmima that you can't say in certain crowds. But the Torah Tmima then goes on to say, and that's also the idea of why Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, is that the point is that the greatest risk is with the males, because they're the bonim, they're the ones that are going to build. Now, one could have easily argued the exact opposite. One could have easily argued, no, the greatest risk in terms of family life is with the women. That's who's really going to influence the family life. That's who's going to be the ones that are raising the children and that have the most profound influence. In fact, there's a discussion when it comes to Parsha Zachar, when it comes to Zechiras Amalek, whether women are chayevos in Zechiras Amalek, right? The Sefer HaChinuch says, well, they're not B'nai Melchama, so they're not Chayavos. Says the Minchas Chinuch, yeah, but maybe they need to be Chayavos anyway. Because how are we going to, the whole idea of Zechiras HaMelech is to pass on to future generations that idea that we're supposed to have this deep-seated hatred and resentment toward HaMelech and a desire to wipe them out. That's not going to be effectively passed on through fathers. Fathers don't pass on emotions nearly as well as mothers do. So when you talk about an emotion, a spiritual feeling, a religious feeling, that's usually very firmly in the maternal domain. Very difficult Torah Tmima to understand that Amoni v'la Amonis, that an Amoni, because a male is a greater threat to what a Jewish family is supposed to be, Adrabah, would seem, I would have said that why is it that in what sense does the male have more of an impact on family? So I would have said like the Gra says in Kol Eliyahu, where the Gemara says in several places that someone had a son. The Gemara says early in the Masechta that someone had a son and his father told him, don't worry, because Riboy Bali Olam, don't worry, you brought more people into the world. And someone else said, Nichumin shel hevel nichamcha avucha, that your father is being menachem you with hevel. It's really garbage, because it's Ashrei Misha Shabanav Zecharam Eilo L'Mishabanav Nekevos. Says the Gra, what's so bad about having daughters? The Gra says, no. If your focus is on having the most progeny possible, if your focus is on having the largest family you possibly could have, especially if a family is called an av, in days where men married more than one wife, so the more sons you had, the more grandchildren you were going to have. Because if you have five sons, each of them can marry five wives, and in any given year, you could have 25 grandchildren without any multiple births. If you have five daughters, at the end of the day, they can, without multiple births, a year later, you're only going to have five grandchildren. So that's how the Graseb shot in that Gemara. That Riboy Bali Olam, yeah, you brought Riboy into the world because we need more daughters, because the more women there are in the world, the more reproduction there's going to be able to happen at any given time. But in terms of you personally, for your family, it's not going to work that way. Statistically, it's going to work that the more sons that you have. So that's what I would have said if you can say anything, that the sons have more of the impact in the family, that you built through the sons. I don't know about that Torah Tamima. I'm not so thrilled about that Torah Tamima. So anyway, it says in Maravaitu, is Mishpacha same really not called Mishpacha? Pasuk tells us this is by the story. There are some wild stories at the end of Sefer Shoftim, right? You have the story of Pilegesh Begiva, and this is a reference to the story of Pesal Micha. It's noted that the reason that you have such wild stories at the end of Sefer Shoftim is that the Navi is trying to set us up for the idea of Malchus in Klal Yisrael. So Sefer Shoftim, at the end of Sefer Shoftim specifically, tries to express to us, look how misguided we were without a melech. Look how badly we needed someone to look up to. We needed some authority. We needed some structure. And how misguided we were without a melech. And tells these crazy stories of the Pesel Micha, the Pilegesh Begiva, just wild, wild stories. But anyway, what does it say over there? That there was a Nar mi Beis Lechem Yehuda, mi Mishpachas Yehuda, who was a Levi. So, frankly, Mar Hagufa Kasha, Armitvu Levi. You say on the one hand he's a Levi, Alma mi Levi Asi. Sounds like he comes from Sheva Levi. And then you say, mi Mishpachas Yehuda, Alma mi Yehuda Asi. Sounds like he comes from Yehuda. Which is it? Elav davu mi Levi, vimi mi Yehuda. So it must be that his father was from Levi, his mother was from Yehuda. Vika amar mi Mishpachas Yehuda. And still you call him Mishpachas Yehuda. Oh, so don't you see that Mishpachas same is Kriya Mishpacha? Amar Rav Bar Rav Chanan, lo gavra de Shmei Levi. Nah, that's not what it means. It means he's a man whose name was Levi. It doesn't mean that he comes from Sheva Levi. His name happened to have been Levi. Ihachi, hainu dekamra micha. So, frankly, Gemara, wait a second. Then how does the pasuk say, Ati yadati ki yetif Hashem li, ki hayu li ha-Levi le-Kohen? Why does Micha say, yeah, this Levi became my Kohen? What do you mean, this Levi? So answers Gemara in this Rami Le'Gavra, the Shmei Levi. What he meant to say is it's ironic. I have a guy whose name is Levi who happens to be serving as my Kohen for my idol. Right? That's all Micha said. Right? You know the basic story of the Pesel Micha, that he ended up stealing something from his mother and he admitted to it, so he got the stuff back and he made a Pesel out of it. And the mother made a Pesel, he gave it to his mother, she made a Pesel, she gave the Pesel to him. He decided to make a Halav El Dazar out of it. He hires this guy, Yehona's son, to be his Kohen, who's gonna be the leader of his temple that worships this Pesel. That's the basic long and short of the story of the Pesel Micha. But Micha was saying, I'm so lucky, I found this Levi who's going to serve as my Kohen. So says Gemara, no, it doesn't really mean he found a Levi who's going to serve as Kohen. It means he found a guy whose name is Levi to serve as his Kohen. So frankly, Gemara, v'chi Levi shmo, v'lo Yehonasan shmo. No, his name wasn't Levi, his name is Yehonasan. Read the story. It says it in the Farish and the Pasuk. Shnemar v'Yehonasan ben Gershon ben Menashe, who banav ha'yukwanim l'shevet adani. That was Yehonasan who was the Kohen. So answers the Gemara, Amalei l'taymeich v'chi ben Menashe hu. The Gemara says, now, why, you think he was the son of Menashe? V'alo ben Moshe hu. He was really ben Moshe, because how does it trace his lineage back? Yehonasan ben Gershom, who is Gershom the son of? Not the son of Menashe, the son of Moshe. Moshe Gershom Eliezer. So what do you mean he's Ben Menashe? So anyway, we see the names are messed up. Ella mitok shasa maisa Menashe talo akasa b'Menashe. Since he did something that was similar to Menashe, namely Avodah Zarah, so the Torah links him to Menashe. So it's over here. Since he did a maisa Menashe, who himself came from Yehuda, that's why the Navi links him to Yehuda. But in Achinami, that's the connection to Yehuda, not that he's actually from Shevet Yehuda. And over here you see that whenever something bad happens, we try to relate it to a bad person. We try to link it to someone who we know is a villain in Tanakh. That's a general derech that Chazal have. Like you read the way, if you were to open up a chumash and just read the story, read Parshas Balak for instance, and just read the story of Bilam HaRasha. And it doesn't really sound so bad. Every single time they ask him, can you do this for us? He says, wait, I need to ask God. I can't do anything without the Ribbono Shel'Olam's consent. Every single time. But we happen to know that he's a villain in Tanakh. So since he's a villain in Tanakh, you read the way Chazal treat him, and every turn is rishus. Every single opportunity. With Esav, you have the same thing. With Yaakov, you have the same thing. Tolan Sakalkala b'makulkala, the reverse is also true. We're told the good stuff with the good guys. And therefore, Yaakov says, Anochi b'chorcha Esav, Anochi am Yaakov, and b'chorcha Esav. Right? So you have Chazal come to the defense of those who we know are tzaddikim. Now there's an interesting comment that the Rif in the Ein Yaakov has over here that caught my eye this morning. The Rif in the Ein Yaakov asks, why doesn't the Gemara ask right off the bat that his name was Yonasan? I mean, the Gemara waits till it gets, it could have asked right away. It said right when the Gemara said that Avuami Levi Vimi Yehuda. I'm sorry, right when it said that his name was Levi. So it first asks, Ati yadati ki yetev Hashem li ki hayali halevi lekohen. Why didn't it right away ask, what do you mean? How can you say his name is Levi? His name was Yehonasan. So the Rif on the Ein Yaakov asks that question. He's mitarets she'efshar shahayu lo shnei shemos, Yehonasan v'Levi. The Gemara wasn't so bothered by that because the Gemara thought maybe he had two names. He had the name Yehonasan and the name Levi. It's only once the Gemara says Gavra d'shmei Levi, the Gemara asks, aye, but Yehonasan was also his name, and therefore that doesn't make sense to say that the guy said, oh look, I have a guy whose name is Levi who's serving as my Kohen. If Yehonasan was also his name, he should have been called both Yehonasan and Levi. He should have said, I have a guy, Yehonasan Levi, who's serving as my Kohen. That's where the Gemara is asking, no, he didn't really have two names. But the Havamina is that he did have two names. That maybe he had two names, Yehonasan and Levi. And it's Muchach from this riff that in Tanakh you find people with two names. You see such an idea that someone could have two names in Tanakh. So that's what the Rif in the Ein Yaakov suggests, that maybe in Tanakh you find someone with two names. There's a famous Nodib Yehuda where the Nodib Yehuda was asked about giving two names, and Nodib Yehuda says it never happens in Tanakh. It only rarely happens in Tanakh and never happens in Shas, that someone's going to have two names. He says it's something that only came in much later. Even in the Rishonim, it's rare to find people with two names. There's a Tosos, there's a Balatosos, I think a Tosos in Chulin or something, where there's a Balatosos called Yaakov Yisrael, right? A Balatosos who has two names. But even then, the two names are very related to each other. Yaakov and Yisrael are obviously related. In Tanakh, you can say, well, Yaakov Avinu had two names. Yeah, but it was always changed. It was always take away one and give the other one instead. You never call two names at the same time. That was very, very, very rare to find someone that has two names. There's a famous example, the Marshal, that illustrates the idea that they didn't have two names, where the Marshal was asked of an episode that happened in his time where there was a son who was born and the father wanted a name after his family, after his own father. He wanted to name the baby Meir, and the mother wanted to name the baby Uri after her father, and they asked what to do. So he said, oh, well, it happens to be Meir means light, Uri means light. We have an idea. Name him Shnei Or, two lights. And that's one name, and that way, so apparently, you see, the minhag was not to name him Meir Uri. Could just be Meir Uri is a strange name, that you have so much light, but say so you figured Shneyar is better. But anyway, but there you see, from that Marshal, it seems pretty clear that that two names was not an option. Even in the Gemara, when you find certain names in the Gemara, the Nod Behuda goes through, you find Rav Oshia Baribi, Rav Lozrak Far Baribi, Abba Shaul, Abba Yossi, Ayimari, all these different names that you find in the Gemara. I have an article on names. Nod Behuda goes through all these names and tries to explain that they're not really two names. That's really one name and a title that you don't really have. You don't really find that people have two names. But it's interesting. Whenever you have father versus mother first, with this Marshal, I was just talking to my uncle recently, and he told me that Rav Salvechik told him once that he said, "What's my name?" So he said, Yosef Dov, I know your name. He said, who am I named after? So, well, that's an easy one. You're named after your great-grandfather, named after the Beis Halevi. He says, nu, what's the kasha? So what do you mean, what's the kasha? He said, our minhag is, by Ashkenazim, that we give the mother's side the first name. I'm a Bukhar. Why did my father's side get the first name? So he said, okay, good kasha, what's the teretz? So he said, when my mother had me, so she was in the hospital a few days later, Reb Chaim came to visit the hospital, and Reb Chaim said, you know, my father died 11 years ago. And he still hasn't been named for. And he pressured my mother into giving the Beis HaLevi's name for me before anyone else, that I had the Beis HaLevi's name. So what's the PS of the story? My mother had four other children. All four names came from her side of the family, for the four other children. Okay, so we'll stop there. Telling us a kalkal, but Makulkal, that Hashem will pick up from the second wide line tomorrow.